This is Susan B. Brock, Telluride Inside and Out. I'm having my annual conversation with Maria Bachmann. She is a superb violinist. I'm sure many of you have heard her play in all over the country, New York and Telluride at the Telluride Music Fest, where she is also artistic director, and this is the 10th anniversary of Telluride Music Fest. Maria, thanks for taking time out of your schedule to join me.
My pleasure.
Thank you. So 10 years, can you believe it? I mean, looking back a decade ago to the beginnings of Music Fest, your baby, did you envision then what the festival would grow into now?
Well, not exactly. First of all, I didn't know that we would keep doing it for 10 years.
Right.
I wasn't imagining it at all how long we might keep doing it. And in some ways, it hasn't changed all that much from the beginning in that we are still presenting concerts in homes. And originally, we started presenting concerts at the Mays, the home of Ann and Vincent May, as well as our home. I'm talking about my husband, Josh Aronson, and myself. We no longer do concerts at our home because we moved to a different location, which is not as conducive for having concerts, but we are still doing concerts at the Mays home, and we seem to have a real incredible following, sort of groupies who, local Tellurians and people from other places as well, who make it their, put it in their schedule to either take a vacation or to be in Telluride, you know, when we're there for the music festival. And it's really been incredibly satisfying and fun and artistically gratifying in every way what we've accomplished with the festival.
I totally agree, having been in the audience almost for every single performance for the last 10 years. So year after year and conversation after conversation with me, we've discussed the themes that you build the program around. How did you choose this year's theme, Vienna to Budapest?
Well, I had in mind that I wanted to program what I consider to be some of the most sublime chamber music ever written. And when you use the word sublime, that to me always means composers like Schubert, Beethoven, Mozart, and certain others that I felt were, well, they all have a lot in common. First of all, they existed and worked in an area and time, which is in Vienna, and some of them also worked in the country of Hungary or had patrons in Hungary. As part of the Austro-Hungarian Empire, these composers really set up an area and a musical life that was so rich and really the heart of European cultural and musical life. It's really before the heyday of a city like Paris, before, obviously, a city like New York became a cultural mecca. Vienna and then, secondly, Budapest were the two musical and cultural meccas in that time. And I'm talking about a time period from the late 1700s up to about World War I. Yes, so it's about a span of maybe 150 years, give or take. And really the end of that era was World War I because of the end of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. And also musical tastes had evolved and changed and were progressing and different styles of music making were coming into the foreground. And then Paris really became the musical mecca in the early 20th century. So that's sort of the evolution there. But the musical richness of the Austro-Hungarian Empire and the composers who worked within the Austro-Hungarian Empire and who were influenced by the music they heard, music from each other. You know, Schubert knew Beethoven, Beethoven knew Mozart, they all knew Haydn, Brahms knew of Beethoven and Schubert. They all knew each other's work intimately well. And they were all exposed to the same influences other than these composers, which were local musicians. Some of them were gypsies, not everyone, but some were. And the gypsies carried on some of these traditions from town to town and made the music of each country their own, took classical tunes and transformed them into improvised chartuses or, you know, fun dance music and party music. So all kinds of transformations and influences were happening, and it was just so rich and culturally active. And yet these composers, these classical composers, took all of these influences, made them their own, and turned out some of what really, I have to say, some of the most sublime chamber music ever written. And by sublime, I mean transcendent, transporting, everlasting, of incredible import, and timeless, just timeless music that today seems just as relevant as when it was written.
Wonderful.
So that is why I picked the theme of Vienna to Budapest.
Thank you for that. I'm sure this will be difficult, and in the interest of brevity, just a couple of examples of program highlights.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to say every Schubert piece is a program highlight for me. We have Schubert on three different programs. One of them, I think the Schubert Fantasy in F minor for piano four hands, I think is got to be one of the most gorgeous pieces ever written, and every musical critic says it's one of the most important pieces written by Schubert, period. Mm-hmm. Another musical highlight would be Schubert's Trout Quintet, which is on our last program. Another musical highlight will be Matt Heimovitz's own arrangement of Jimi Hendrix's arrangement of the Star Spangled Banner, and that will be on the July 3rd program. We also have a fantastic arrangement of Mozart's Jupiter Symphony. The arrangement was done by Johann Nepomuk Hummel, and it is for piano quartet, so piano and strings. And that is an unbelievable work. We also have Beethoven's Magnificent Archduke Trio on our first concert, June 27th. So each program, actually, I think is just chock full of highlights. I think there isn't one piece that isn't a highlight in my mind.
I had a feeling you would say that. let's shift to the performers. There's a core group, obviously your group, the Trio Solisti. But then there are satellites, and they all shine. How do you pool your guest artists?
Mm-hmm. Well, they are all artists whom I've worked with before and played with many times. And they are basically my favorites, my favorite people to play with. And I think they are audience favorites as well. Each one is special and spectacular in their own way, and there's nobody else like them. As our audience know, Adam Neumann from the last couple of summers, you know, he's just one of the most brilliant, charming, expressive, incredible pianists of his generation and of anyone that I know, really. I mean, in the whole chamber music field, he's one of the best. And as that's the same for every single guest artist that we have this year. And we have Matt Heimovitz, for the first time on cello, whom I met actually just a couple of years ago at the Moab Music Festival. And we played several concerts together there. And then we also performed together last year at Philip Glass's Festival in Carmel, California. And he's just, you know, such a lovely person, as well as being one of the great cellists of the day. He's amazing in every way. And all of our guest artists are just, you know, they're really the tops in their field, and they're world-renowned. So I can't speak highly enough of any of them.
Okay. Now, there's a special event this year, and it has to do with your husband, who is a documentary filmmaker, and I think an Oscar-nominated documentary filmmaker. This is the screening of his latest documentary about the founder of the Israeli Symphony. And I understand that will take place on July 6th at Wilkinson Public Library. Talk a little bit about that film and your role in helping Josh Aronson make the film.
Well, I have to say I'm slightly prejudiced, but I think this is Josh's best film ever. It is the story of the violinist Bronislaw Huberman, who in the 1930s was a world-famous soloist, toured all over the world. He was incredibly famous, And he used his fame and his popularity to help get Jewish musicians out of Europe, particularly out of Germany, out of many Eastern European countries as well, and to get them to Palestine to save their lives, to save them from the Holocaust, which he felt was coming. He didn't know, actually, in the mid-30s how bad it was going to get, but he had a feeling things were not going to be good when he saw that they were getting fired from their jobs in orchestras. And he just had a bad feeling. He had a sort of second sight, an insight into what might be coming. And he was determined to save as many musicians as he could, as well as building a world-class orchestra in Palestine. And the Palestine Symphony became the Israel Philharmonic when Israel, you know, became a country. And he, therefore, not only saved about 1,000 lives, but he also saved the cultural life and heritage of the Jewish people through music. And he fought Nazism through his music. He showed the Nazis that they could not defeat the spirit of people, of the Jews, and that he and others like him were determined to put up a fight. And they fought through their music. And, in fact, he enlisted the most famous conductor of the day, Arturo Toscanini, who very happily came to conduct the first concert of the Palestine Symphony. And it was broadcast worldwide all over the radio. And it was an incredible triumph, I think, for the people, for Toscanini, and for Huberman. And Huberman made many recordings of wonderful, you know, classical works, but this is probably his most important legacy. And it's a story that hasn't really been told yet. So it's incredible to have now as a world-class movie, which will be released shortly. And when we're in Telluride, I'm sure Josh will be filling in everyone on the latest happenings of the movie. They're currently in talks with different festivals and places for premieres. So that's all to come in the next year.
And the name of the film?
The name of the film is Orchestra of Exiles.
Okay. So this has been Susan B. Brock, Telluride Inside and Out. I've been speaking with Maria Bachman, Artistic Director of the Telluride Music Fest. That begins on July 27th, and there's a series of, Maria, 4 or 5 concerts?
We have 4 concerts, the first being June 27th, then July 1st, July 3rd, and July 8th.
And then the screening on July 6th.
Yes.
Which will be, again, free to the general public and at the Wilkinson Public Library. So thank you, Maria, for taking time out of your schedule. I know you're in deep rehearsal to speak with me today. And this is Susan B. Brock, Telluride Inside and Out.
Thank you.
Thank you, Maria.